Welcome to another offering of Heavenly Blessings with Linda Dillon, channel for the Council of Love and author of The Great Awakening, and myself, Suzanne Maresca. Today, we'll be hearing from the Buddha on universal law of attachment and detachment. Stepping fully into our role as creator beings will mean using this law to bring our visions to fruition. Ideally, our dreams are what we attach to, and once we take action to bring what we want into being, we detach from the idea and release it into the flow so that it can move as it has need to. Feel free to join us with your questions and comments by calling 323-784-9697 and press 1 so I know you'd like to come on the air with us. Excuse me. We'll continue taking callers by area code, so when we're ready to start doing that, I'll say your area code and bring you on the air. I always look forward to a deeper understanding of these universal laws, and this week's discussion is no different. Attachment has certainly been seen as something to steer away from because when we pin our expectations on some outcome or other, inevitably it leads to disappointment. By the Council of Love's definition, we attach to the vision but allow it to unfold. It feels like an entirely different perspective. So this ought to be interesting. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Susie. And good morning, everybody. So I have to tell you that this is Linda weighing in at 2,000 pounds. As I've been sitting here getting ready, the sensation of holding the Buddha energy is just bigger and bigger and bigger. So I'm absolutely glued to my seat.
Well, these laws are all being laid out for us at this time, so we're able to know the rules more or less for our greatest success in creating the world that we want.
So that's wonderful. Absolutely right. And while Sanat Kumara, who's, you know, been with us and still is with us for that matter, through most of our discussions on the laws, the universal laws, here and there we'll have somebody who comes in, who comes in to talk about a particular law because it's sort of within their area of interest, as it were.
Right.
And
right.
This particular law of attachment and detachment absolutely belongs to the Buddha.
Sure.
And when I say the Buddha, I mean that collective, huge energy of the Buddha.
Yeah. You know, that's something that I've been contemplating lately is the collective nature, okay? So we humans are learning to think of ourselves more as a collective, but we're pretty far from the group mind that, say, masters and archangels do. I feel that some people have fear of losing individuality if they allow the unity consciousness thing, but I don't think it's about that at all. It's not about sameness.
It's not about sameness, and in fact, it's really about the diversity. I absolutely agree with you, Susie, that when we talk about coming into unity and community and a joint mind, as you put it, I see people, or I hear people, getting a little nervous. And if we peel that onion, I'm so glad you brought this up. If we peel this onion, it boils down to that old false grid of lack of self-worth. There is a part of us, because we haven't fully accepted and embraced, and this isn't said in any way of criticism, it's just it's us and getting through the old third, but there is a part of us that really wants to be special.
And recognize.
And I don't care how you frame it, but it's we want to be special and we want to have those unique qualities that are different from everybody else. And we want that on a very deep level, not even on a conscious level, subconscious, unconscious. We want that uniqueness to be seen, to be admired, honored, loved, cherished, and recognized, acknowledged.
Yeah, that's true.
And so our fear is that if we join in with the group, as it were, if we become part of that herd mentality, is that we lose that sense of ourselves. But if you bring it back to the starting point, and the starting point is that we, each of us, are unique, individual, beautiful expressions of the One, burst from the heart of the Mother as a spark of love, as a spark of light, then that fear of losing ourselves disappears. So if we were ever going to be attaching to something, we would be attaching to that vision of our unique expression of God, of divinity, and detaching from this need to be special.
Well, yes, and as we're speaking about this, what comes up for me is, I don't know if you've seen that movie Avatar, but in it, they have this special thing between two people saying, I see you, and I think that's what we all long for. It doesn't even necessarily have to be a great circle of people that see us, but if there's one other special person that really gets us and recognizes us, and plenty of us were born into families that we weren't seen in, so that seems to be like the universal human longing is to be seen for who we are. But I guess we have to see it first.
We have to see it first, but sometimes the breakthrough comes because somebody else sees us and points it out. It doesn't necessarily have to come from the company of heaven, from the archangels or our guides, because they will always point it out. But there's something about being seen and recognized for who you really are, you know, warts and all, that is a gift beyond. So, yes, and you mentioned one of my favorite movies, Avatar, and that group mind and how that can work and does work. And when you go into the group mind, the collective consciousness, the unity consciousness, it's not that your uniqueness or your talents are diminished. Quite the contrary, you come into that place of joining, and your talents, your mission, your vision, what you're here to do, is supported so much more deeply and fully and completely, because you're not alone anymore.
Exactly. I think that was a visionary movie because, for example, when they all had an issue that they wanted to heal the person, Sigourney Weaver was dying, and they all got together and they called on their universal energies all together, and it was an extremely powerful thing. And it was a very touching moment for me because, you know, part of me looks at that and says, I want to live like the Na'vi. That's what I want, you know, that's what I want, and that's what we're moving towards.
That's absolutely what we're moving towards. And, you know, in amidst, excuse me, I'm a little raspy today, but in amidst all the movies that are, you know, what shall I say, violent, violent is the word, about beings from other planets and other realities, this was such a beautiful movie.
Yeah.
And it's worth it, you know, just going to visit. I have maybe three or four movies that I go for my feel-good movies. So when you're in that place, you can go and watch and just veg out and, you know, reset your barometer, as it were. And that's sure one of them.
Yes, it is one of them. So it's a little early, but would you like to leap into a meditation or?
I think I would, because I think today we're going to do something that's a little different. So,
okay.
Yes, I would.
Mm-hmm.
And the color of the Buddha and the quality of the Buddha, which really reflects into this law of attachment and detachment, is compassion. And as you know, compassion is understanding and fully comprehending and being supportive of another person's issues, vasanas, journey, challenges, victories, but not assuming them as your own. So again, it's being, as we've been talking about, this unity consciousness, which is the way of being in the fifth dimension. Compassion plays a huge role. So why don't we get started? And let's begin today by taking a nice deep breath of that glorious magenta, the magenta of our Buddha. As I found myself meditating today, usually I'm chanting the song, the signatures of the archangels. And then all of a sudden I found myself chanting, you know, Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. So feel that energy. Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. Just come into you. And breathe that color of wine. And feel the week ahead and the week behind just slip away. And feel yourself with me gaining some weight as you really sink into your chair, your bed, your office chair, your car seat, the floor. Wherever you are, and breathe magenta, that perfect balance of blue, and it's the blue of the mother, and the red, and it's the vitality of Gaia. And feel the lotus blossom on your head open. And the lotus blossom on your forehead, your third eye, which is magenta, open. Now come with me. As you're breathing this wonderful magenta, and feel your energy seeping down into your heart. All of us, sisters and brothers of Gaia, of the stars, of the distant universes, of the angels and archangels and mastery realms. We all live in our hearts. Not to the exclusion of our brilliant minds or our wonderful bodies, but this is our anchor. So feel the energy into your heart. Pull up from Gaia. Pull up from our Mother Earth. And feel that rich vitality, that life force, that all of us during this time of such massive transition can use. And breathe. Now towards the center of your heart, I want you to see that pinprick of white light. that portal, that wonderful portal. And although it's tiny, you know it is the portal that you can fly through as your true angelic self, as your fairy self, as your butterfly self, into the inner golden chambers of your heart. Come with me and feel yourself flying through that pinprick of white light. Into the golden inner chambers of your blessed heart. And as you do, you see these wonderful burnished golden walls. And the walls are covered with words. Some you recognize, some are in ancient Sanskrit. Some are like hieroglyphics. There are some symbols. Maybe it's a triangle or an arc, a spiral. This is where you have stored the information about your sacred purpose and about your intentions for this life. And it is beautiful, warm, and you feel yourself cocooned in that golden warmth with a beautiful shawl of the Buddha's magenta. And you find your cushion or your chair, and you sit down. Because like your temple and sacred space, this is one of your places, one of your sacred places to come, to reflect, to create, and to understand. So relax. Relax on your cushion or your chair. Surrounded by this information about the uniqueness and the beauty of who you are. And breathe. I want you to feel what you have been wishing for. What is that creation that perhaps you never dared even look at or contemplate? The one that you kept tucked in the corner of your heart. Because if it didn't come to pass, you didn't think you could bear it. So in many ways, it's just been safer for you, in your wisdom, to just keep it tucked away. Time to bring it out and to look at it and to love it Maybe it's your ascension or a perfect relationship. Financial abundance, perfect health, a happy family, fully embodying your mission and purpose. It can be anything, but it's yours. So take a minute and feel with your heart, what is that thing that you tucked away? And bring it out. And cup it in your hands as you sit in your golden chamber. And really look at it. Part of creation is intention. And it's having the courage to really look at what you want and to fill in all those gaps. Now what I'd ask you to do is to take that creation and attach to it. So feel with both your hands that you are bringing it back as if they are magnetized back into your heart. The sensation is magnets and almost a click. Bring it back into your heart, admitting to yourself and admitting to the universe, declaring to the universe that this is something that you wish to declare throughout everywhere, and especially to our beloved Buddha. And feel it. Feel that desire and the knowingness of the rightness of this creation and your worthiness to have it, no matter what it is. Now, the difficulty is that when we hold this so tight, there's no room to move. It's another way that you've tucked it away in your heart again. So what we're going to do is surrender it. And we're going to surrender it to the Buddha and to the universe. But first, we're going to go to still point so that the masters, the angels, the archangels, our guides can add their elements and their energy so that this can begin to simmer and collect the energy it needs to come into form. Feel your breathing slowing, staying in your heart, away when you're falling asleep and your breathing becomes deeper and deeper. Now, as we're doing this, I want you to feel that creation to which you're attached, the sensation of letting it go, and drop it to the bottom of your Valentine heart, to the point where your heart chakra and your solar plexus chakra just touch down to the seat of your soul. And how we're going to detach is by breathing it out, dropping it into our solar plexus, and out into the universe so that it can assume form. Feel this sense with me as this movement is taking place, that you are letting go, that you are not trying to control everything in terms of how your creation manifests and comes to you. The feeling is after you've had a really good cry, and you're cried out and you feel peaceful. Now bring it down. Now let's hold this at still point. Barely any breath or no breath at all. Don't worry, your body knows when it has to breathe. And with me, on the count of three, we detach by pushing it out of our solar plexus, out into the universe. One, two, three. Come back up to your heart. To that perfect golden chamber again. And feel the imprint and the knowing of that wonderful creation that you have just released to the universe. And from a place of surrender, attached to it in ways that you are saying are for the highest good, not only of you, but of everyone concerned, of Gaia and humanity. And let it be. No, not tucking it away again, but allowing it. And I'll step aside.
I am the Buddha. Welcome.
And welcome to you. I come to you as wayfarer, And yes, as always, I ask you to sit with me underneath the Bodhi tree. For what better place is there to observe the coming of miracles, the fulfillment of creation, the unfoldment of the plan, and the unfoldment of your plan? We have taught you how important it is, might I say essential, to know your sacred purpose, to know your mission and purpose, and your intention of how you wish to fulfill this in this incarnation, which is, of course, one of many, but it is a continuity, is it not? And yes, there is a time for action, and there is a time for stillness. But most of you have the greatest amount of difficulty with the stillness. And thus is why I ask you to sit with me as observer in detachment under the tree. We simply watch. And you know, when you sit and you watch, not in any form of judgment, not even really in discernment, but simply as the observer, you learn a great deal. And it is a great deal about humanity, about the universe, and about yourself. So we do not sit under the Bodhi tree together and watch people pass by and say, well, that one's robe is too tight, or the sash is tied wrong, or where did he buy those sandals? Where does she think she's going in such a hurry? No. We simply sit. And in our energy, we bless each being that passes by. Now, what do I mean by this? I mean that you bless each person, not simply with compassion, but with the love of your heart. You do not attach to either your vision or theirs. This is a very important understanding for humanity that has an infamous tendency to get caught up in the drama of both their own lives and certainly of others as well. That is why it is so critical at this juncture that you truly learn to be the observer. Because when you are fully anchored as the observer, you are in detachment. You are simply watching. And when I use the word watching, I certainly do not simply mean with your eyes or even your etheric eyes. I mean with your heart. So it is not that you are simply watching and gathering information. You are truly observing and seeing into a person's heart, their mind, their soul, their frequency, their struggles, their joys. And you are loving them. This is one of the first steps of unity consciousness. And it is a critical step in your journey. Now, I wish to make an aside, and it will be something that I rarely speak of. Many of you, my beloved family, have great desire to meet, to embrace, and to be with your star brothers and sisters. Of course, for many of you, it is because it tugs at your heart. And for some of you, it is what you are creating, even this morning as we meet. But let us look at this. Part of you wishes to be in the company of your star brothers or sisters, or for that matter, the ascended masters, the archangels. Of course, the first primary motivation is because of love and of longing. But that is also back to that false grid of illusion and separation. That is not what I wish to speak of right now. You long to be in the company of your star family because you think and believe that they are more. Yes, I speak heresy, do I not? But you know, as Buddha, I am always plain spoken. You think that they hold the solution for many of the ills, both of Gaia and of humanity. And they hold the promise of a higher vibration and a new adventure. And all of this is truth. So I do not dismiss it. But what of your brothers and sisters of Earth? As Suzanne has mentioned, where is the desire to join in the fullness of creation with your brothers and sisters who have incarnated with you to accomplish this transition and ascension? Where is your faith, your trust, your love, your passion, your longing to join with them? Because this is your family. This is the group that you, not we, but you, have chosen to travel with. Too often, what I observe is that the human collective is dismissed, or not cherished as they deserve to be. And within that, my beloved friends, is the love and creation, the honoring that you deserve. But if your universe is nothing more than a series of mirrors, if you are not attaching to the love of your fellow humans and hybrids, and then releasing it so that they collectively and individually can become, if you are not holding that vision as observer, then who is holding it for you? There is not one being on Gaia, regardless of what miracles or acts of charity or commissions of atrocities and brutality, there is not one being that does not hold the desire to be created into fullness. Now, there may be some misunderstanding about what that fullness is or can be, but that only comes with growth and with love. So as your teacher, I am asking each of you this day to hold this vision as observer, to the creation of humanity in the fullness of their potential, their ascension, and they're remaining in physicality, and the bringing forth of Nova Earth. I assist in this and remember it is attached, detach, reattach. It is the constant flow. It is the constant flow of your heart. And it is the constant flow of the universe. Examine, my children, examine what you feel you are attached to. Yes, I continue in this lesson. What are you attached to? And what is the reality of that attachment? Are you attached to fear? Are you attached to lack of self-worth? Are you attached to drama? Are you attached to things never work out for me? Are you attached to I will not have enough money to pay my bills? Are you attached to I don't know why, but my body never seems to cooperate? Are you attached to, I have trouble meditating, I can't get my mind to go quiet? Why? Above or below, within or without, why would you attach to anything that does not serve the greatest glory of you? So while I am with you, and I thank you for this, while I am with you, please let go, detach from these meaningless attachments that do not serve you and do not have any substance. They are not reflections of your truth. That is why they are not sustainable. That is why they don't produce. That is why you fail to create. Attach to the truth of your heart's desires. What is the reflection of your highest desire? And let me be very clear on this. Your highest desire every day, and it may be that I have enough rice in my bowl, because the plan is for you to be in the physical. You cannot do that without sustenance. So attach to what is truth. Is there only one truth? Yes. But it has a unique face for each of you. Attach to that. And then when you are clear, step back. And detach. Let it go and feel as if you are handing it over to me, to your guardian angels, to your guides, to Raj. There are many of us who are here to serve. That has never changed. And it won't. Then let us do what we have need to do. And then your job is attaching to the ideal outcome. It's not that we are saying, don't be attached to the creation. What we are saying is don't be attached to how it is delivered, when, where, how, by whom. Allow the energy to flow and know that there is a beautiful, beautiful symphony of creation. You have called by expressing your desire. You literally call together the symphony orchestra. But if you are the conductor, you are not going to try and conduct and then tell Maitreya how to play the flute. Or even worse, run and shove him off the chair and play it yourself. You are not going to go to Gabrielle and shove her off the chair and play the violin or the strings. Or heaven forbid, Yofael and throw him off the tuba. You will not do this. You are the conductor. You know the melody. You know the flow. And you must allow the music to not only fill your ears, your body, your heart, but the entire symphony hall. This is what you are doing. And then when it is all over, you will attach for a moment and enjoy the accolades, and then you will move on and attach to the next creation, the next symphony, knowing that each musician is already in place, diligent and prepared. Stop underestimating us and let us do our job. I have gone on. Susie, where do you wish to begin?
It's wonderful to have you with us again. You're giving me a giggle in my heart with the image of shoving an archangel off a chair. Of course, we would never do that.
Oh, but you constantly. And I do not mean you, sweet angel, but yes, you do.
All right. Well, I love what you said about joining with other earthlings with as much passion as we long for reunion with our star family. My feeling of late is that it may be a while before we have face-to-face interaction with them, and that the technology that can help us will be telepathed into the human collective and spread that way. It makes me a little sad to think so, but maybe we aren't ready yet.
Well, the telepathic communication has been in force, not only with your star brothers and sisters, but with our realm, shall we say, as well, for quite some time, and certainly more effectively during this past year. But no, I am not suggesting to you that the up-close and personal in-person contact with your star brothers and sisters is in the distant future, not at all. But what I am saying, and one of the reasons why I have brought it to your attention, is on your society, in your societies, in your nation states, in your cultures, you have had, and believe you me, I have experienced this as Buddha in form in India. You have class systems, and they are rigorously defined. And even as light workers, when you say that you have moved past that and you hold love for everybody equally in your heart, it is not so. And we are not suggesting that there will not be differentiation. You will love your sister, your daughter, more intensely, more personally, than you will love the homeless man lying in the gutter in Chicago. That is understood. But what is not understood is the class system. So we do not want, and your star brothers and sisters are very clear on this, because they are already, many of them, on the ground. They do not want to come. They have formed workarounds to eliminate some of the fear, but they do not want to come and start an elite class. You already have the monarchies, the Saudi princes, the arrogant elites, the financial princes. There is no room for this. So what we are saying, all beings, the man in the gutter, the woman quivering in the corner from abuse, the autistic child, the arrogant businessman, the greedy dictator, and your star brothers and sisters all emanate, as do I, from that spark of love from the mother. Are some civilizations more advanced in your, not judgment, but discernment? Well, some are more advanced in some ways. For example, from our perspective, we would not say that a civilization that allows people to go hungry and live in the gutter is an advanced civilization, particularly when there is plenty. That is rather a very primitive civilization. Similarly, if we are to look to a tribe in Africa that you might think of as rather primitive because they do not have all the technologies, but that the tribe shares the food they have and supports the children together and works and plays and prays together. This is a very advanced civilization. So the categorizations of this or that or door number three have need to be eliminated. So it is not that your star brothers and sisters are in the distant future. It is quite the contrary. We want this cleaned up.
Yes.
So that they can come.
Oh, I'm very happy to hear that. As you're speaking, it also occurs to me to wonder if I have attachment to being a higher dimensional being here to help humanity raise up in frequency and transform into our true divine nature, and subsequently being one not entirely comfortable with this lower dimensional experience. Is that attachment?
Yes, you do. But let us explain.
Okay.
Part of your evolution, and part of why I've asked you, and Sanat Kumara, my dear friend Raj, has asked you to go into your heart all these weeks, and we will continue to do so. There are attachments and there are false attachments. You are attached to the fulfillment of your mission and purpose and the truth of who you are. And that is necessary because it is your guiding North Star. It leads you where you need to go. Now, if you are dismissive, judgmental of those who are still struggling to let go of the third, then that is not, well, it is not of prudence, and it is not of compassion, and it most certainly is not of love, and it gives you no joy. So that is a lose, 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 lose. But if you can look at it and say, no, that is not where I choose to live. I wish to attach to the vision of a higher vibration for all. And therefore, I am lifting up. It is that sensation that has been described so many times as reaching through the portal and lifting up, having them sit next to you, actually or in meditation, and in the essence of your field, of your sacred space, of your energy field, so that they are being affected then that is part of the creation.
Exactly.
But if it is, I am now above that reality, I am better than that, then that is not of love. And I suggest, dear Susie, that is not where you are.
No, that's not where I am. I'm just wondering about the not being comfortable here. You know, do I have attachment to that part, as in, like, that's an understandable part of being who I am, that I don't really exactly fit in here. So I'm just wondering if that is something I need to shift.
You can let that go, because it is twofold. And so now you are going to have the Buddha speak out of both sides of his mouth. On one side, I say to you, you are not intended to be completely comfortable in any remnants of the old third.
Okay.
It is a feeling like, get out of town.
Yeah.
On the other hand, what we want you to attach to is the vibration that makes you want to stay.
All right.
Because part of the difficulty that has been occurring, and you think that we have not been helping you or doing our job in getting this taken care of, but we have been working quite diligently, if I do say so.
And it's appreciated.
So, the energy that you wish to be attaching to is the higher vibration that makes you want to stay in physicality. There are so many of you that are more than willing at the millisecond notice to come and join me without form.
Exactly.
Under the Bodhi tree.
Mm-hmm.
You are all ready.
Yeah.
But that is not what this is about. This is part of the uniqueness of the mother's plan, and it was what she had planned all along. It was to be able to assume form, keep form, and by the way, that will morph into being able to assume many forms.
Yippee.
And you will be happy, my friend, because you will be able to morph into a whale, into a dolphin, and come home for dinner. So it is attaching to the vibration, but staying in form. And that is where some of the disconnect for the lightworker community is occurring.
Oh, beautiful. That is wonderful news. Okay, so this next one might be simply a matter of semantics. In my admittedly incomplete understanding of the Four Noble Truths, I thought that attachment was seen to be the cause of all human suffering. Now, that would be attachment to outcome as opposed to attachment to a vision. Is that the key here?
It is part of the key. But let me tell you, attachment has, in your human realm, and in the human expression of the spiritual realm, words. This is the difficulty. That is why telepathic communication will be so much more efficient. But attachment has come to mean that you are attached, and just the mere fact of attachment is a negative.
Right.
My dream for you is to enter, to be attached to your creation of total detachment.
Okay.
Do you see where I am going?
I do.
Do not judge attachment. What we are asking of you, for example, in what we have just spoken of, is to be attached to the vision, not the delivery, of the human collective rising up.
Mm-hmm.
Then you detach, because we're not asking you to organize, push, and decide who's going where. So
mm-hmm.
you hold the vision, and then you detach from it. And you allow. And it is more than allowing. It is truly surrender. And it is not just surrender to Source, Mother, Father, One, or to the higher realms or the company of heaven, or even to me. It is also surrender to the individuals involved, that they will find their way. It is that honoring that their divine spark knows. When they have received that input, that impulse of light to jumpstart them, that they will find their way.
All right. Beautiful. Ah, this is wonderful. Okay, so would you please speak to what the Council of Love has said about any or all of you adding your own elements to human creations? Like, at what point in the process does that take place?
It takes place primarily while you are at still point, while you are in the nothingness, the void of all, we are doing our add-ons and the adding of elements to create. We are adding the gunpowder for the explosion, as it were. So we add our energy, plus whatever you may have overlooked, because in human nature, that sometimes happens. And then as it drops down, it is gathering force, your force, our force, the force, and then exploding out into the universe. Now, one of the pieces we have not spoken of is while it is out there, and think of it in terms of being out in the without, the law of within and without.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have given it to the universe. Well, we are out there as well. And so we are collecting what you think of as the material, the codes, to bring together into physicality to you. So we work at still point, we work at ejection, and we work at gathering and returning to you. We are busy.
Yes. Yes. And
we are happy. We are in joy to do this.
Mm. And it's so appreciated. Absolutely true. Thank you, thank you. All right. So I would like to ask a question about our ability to manifest using this law, and as a relevant and timely example, I'm using Linda's Joshua Tree Conference. It's been my stated intention and desire to go, and I've even seen myself there. How it happens is something I've let go of without conditions. So as far as I know, I've not been a lawbreaker, as Raj puts it, yet as of right now, the way hasn't shown up yet. So would you please help me to understand what other powers might be at work when we adhere to universal law, yet what we desire perhaps takes another form? I've been imagining that maybe it's best for me to anchor the energy from where I am, and also that there'll be other opportunities for the team to get together.
That is absolutely correct. So what you have done is attached to the vision, and in fact you have been back and forth to Joshua Tree several times in the last couple of months. You, in all likelihood, will be bilocated.
Mm-hmm.
So your presence will be there and be felt by those who are perhaps clear enough at this juncture to do so. But you will also be anchoring the energy. Because inside your attachment and your intent has always been whatever is for the highest good.
Exactly.
And the highest good is that this energy is being anchored at many points. So yes, there is this part of you, and frankly, dear heart, it is also that part of Linda that is yearning to have the physical reality.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you have surrendered. So what you have done is surrendered to the highest good.
Yes.
So it is not that your participation, etheric and physical, is not taking place, and your deeper desire for a team meeting is also being addressed.
Yay! All right, that's wonderful. I so appreciate this. Thank you, thank you. All right, so we have one caller in line. Shall we move on to that caller?
Yes, of course.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. All right, area code 860. Are you with us?
Yes. Hi.
Hello. Hi, you're on the
Hello.
Air.
Hi. Thank you. Hi, Buddha. Hi, Susan and Linda. This is Helen. I have a lot of questions, actually, to ask Buddha. I don't know how to start, but I'm a Buddhist. So I have been practicing Buddhist philosophy for many years. I know in the Buddhist philosophy, the highest level, maybe, I think it's the emptiness. So you taught us to have no eyes, no nose, no mind. Everything should be everything's illusion. To get this level, the most of time for us as Earth people are very difficult. So I've been practicing this, but I know it's sometime when I see everything is so frustrated. I know it's the best way to go to the emptiness level, to understand this illusion. But it's everything's illusion, to let it go. Could you give me some idea how could I practice better to just understand everything illusion, detached? So from your point.
But you are practicing, and because it does not always, oh, shall we say, fully anchor, you are being critical of yourself. And, of course, that is a form of attachment, is it not, to be attached to the criticism that you are not quite doing. But that is not so. It is a matter of keep going. As you know, I talk a great deal about the diligence and the practice and the continuation and the ability to be in the stillness. So when you go to your meditation, simply turn off your eyes, your nose, your ears, and come to the true place of being. And then when you are done with that, when you reopen your human eyes, stay in this place of no senses and no input, because the frustration with the human condition, it does not serve. It does not serve you, and it does not serve them. So it is the frustration that you are cutting out. And how you do that is in the waking, walking, being meditation, is to simply stay in the place of being blind.
Thank you. I have another question. I almost forgot the question. When I call you, we were taught your mantras is Om Muni Muni Maha Muni Yesoha. Is this your mantras? I can call you to connect with you.
Yes, or you can simply say Buddha.
Oh, simply say Buddha. Okay. So the next
what
question.
What mantras do?
Mm-hmm.
Is it allows you to begin to inform all the levels of your being and your consciousness that you are preparing to enter into sacred communion with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I am always listening.
I know. I have a Buddha statues everywhere in my house, in my fountain.
It is quite a nice decoration.
And very high vibration protection, too.
Yes.
And I have another question. It's a question, do you talk to Laozi?
Yes.
Yes, that is very interesting because I'm practicing, I'm Buddhist, but I also believe in the Taoist. So more and more I feel actually both those two things are very compatible. As a philosophy, you know, you talk us to find the high level is detached, is totally let it go, emptiness level. But for Laozi, his philosophy is just keep on the steel pond, keep balance. So is there any different way, is there any difference on the practicing or what's your actually normally, your give me some idea.
All right. So I can tell you in this realm, and yes, with Laozi, there is not a contest about who got it right. So while my message is often one of detachment, his message for his life, his many lives, has been balance. If you think of balance, it is the still point between attachment and detachment. They are one and the same.
I that's what I feel too. I feel in order to be balanced, you know, as a Buddhist, that's what I feel. So I use my Buddhist philosophy to practice the Taoist philosophy. I say, in order to be balanced, I have to detach. Otherwise, I cannot keep myself balanced.
So it is the human race over time has been given many, many pathways, Eastern, Western, and so on. But when you truly look at the kernels of truth and the way, the journey, the pathway, they are all the same. And it is time for the humans to meet in the middle. And my beloved Helen, that is what you are doing.
Thank you. I really appreciate the message. I really want to connect with your energy and vibration. Say hello to Laozi and Guan Yin for me. Thank you.
And I will say hello back to you from them.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Farewell.
All right, beautiful. So can we address what we are going to have a conversation about next week? Is it not unity?
Well, I will give you back to Linda.
All righty. Thank you so much.
Oh, with my love. And yes, it will be unity. And this is also the point of balance. This is what I have spoken to you of this day in terms of the unity of the collective. It is another one of my favorite subjects. I might return.
All righty.
Farewell.
Farewell.
And go with my love. Please, take all of my love and then come back because I will have more for you.
Okay, thank you.
Hi.
Hi, Linda. Welcome back. That was wonderful.
Well, thank you. Next week, I will not be on air.
That's right. I forgot.
That's good. I think that's why they nudged me, so that our listeners were aware. So I guess what we'll do... I don't know. We haven't even talked about this, Susie. Maybe play. Okay, he's nudging me. He would like us to go back, and now that we're gaining our deeper understanding of the laws, He'd like us to go back and play the show on the first law, which is the law of purpose.
Okay.
So that's what we'll do, and I will be hopefully lounging somewhere and recovering from the intensive at Joshua Tree.
All right, so our next continuation is going to be on the 1st of October.
Yes, and that will be on unification.
Amazing how quickly this is all going by.
I know. When we talked about it initially, and we, you know, I was thinking, oh my goodness, we're doing another series of 13 weeks like we did with the blessings and virtues, and
right.
Here we go.
Here we go. This is number 6. I mean, I'm amazed. Weeks are flying by. I don't even remember what happens in them, and it's just amazing.
And that's also part of this energy of being in the fifth. Our sense of time is shifting.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and I used to. I mean, it's not that I didn't believe it, and we've all had that experience. The council, you know, in the last while said, well, your 24-hour day is really down to about 11 hours.
And it, yeah.
It certainly has felt that way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you wake up, you start to do something, and all of a sudden it's 8 o'clock at night.
I know.
And you're just getting going.
I know. Sometimes it's like 5:30 at night and I haven't eaten anything yet for the day. Like, oh, wow.
Exactly.
I guess I need to eat.
Yeah. And so our sense of how we are placed in time is really shifting.
Yes.
And so that's fifth dimensional, because in the other dimensions, we have different perceptions or different experiences of what time is.
Right.
Even on board ship, it's a different rhythm, I guess, of time.
Yeah.
So, and that's one of the things that our star families are acclimatizing themselves to by being, having assignments, a lot of them having assignments right now on Earth. It's not just the vibration, the human vibration, getting used to, you know, that compatibility factor, but it's also getting used to a different form of gravity, a different form of time. All of these things have to be, you know, adjusted to. So it's really phenomenal. You also mentioned that you, and I've talked to several people who are having the experience of being levitated off their bed.
Oh, yeah.
And that also is very much a fifth to seventh dimensional experience. So if you're having that, and it may feel like it's quasi-dream state, it doesn't matter. If you're having that sensation of levitation, then you know you're anchoring more and more fully in the ascended fifth. So go for it.
Yeah, I love this. I love this. It's you know, if I've been waiting for the time when it gets really exciting, I think that we're in it, like, right this moment.
I think we are, too. I think that, you know, everyone has been saying, well, you know, we're waiting for stuff to happen. But really, it's happening.
Yeah.
And how we really see that isn't by looking at the White House, although they've given us some wonderful examples lately.
True. And the Pope.
But it's also looking at ourselves, how we're feeling, how we're interacting with others, at our neighbors, how our neighbors are transforming, how groups that we interact are transforming. That's where I'm seeing the big difference.
Yes, and also I'm feeling like I'm under a cosmic sedative or something, and the things that would normally bother me are just like, it's okay, I'm not worried about it.
Not there, are they?
It's
just a sense of what's really important. It's just not there.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank God. Thank God for everything. I'm so grateful for this program and working with you, and I am a truly blessed girl.
So am I.
Yeah.
So am I.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again, and here's to a wonderful Joshua Tree experience for everyone.
Yes.
In and out.
Whether you are there in physicality or in spirit, it matters not. You'll be there.
Yes, yes, yes. Blessings all around.
Yes.
All
thank
righty.
You, Susie. I love you.
I love you too. Bye, guys.
Bye. Watchery is like...